Watching movies, making dinner, ordering a book, finding a date, all can be done online. Add a visit to the doctor to the virtual lifestyle mix. Telemedicine has been around for years, mostly to connect remote or rural patients with healthcare workers and specialists. It is now accessible to anyone with a smartphone, tablet, or computer. Abby Goodenough is a healthcare reporter for the New York Times who recently wrote about the increasing use of telemedicine for house calls. And Abby, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So why would someone consult a doctor online?
Well, convenience is the number one reason. A lot of people, you know, they kind of dread going to the doctor. They dread making an appointment, maybe being told that they can't come in for a day or two. They dread even more the idea of going to an urgent care clinic or worse, an emergency room and waiting 45 minutes or an hour or 3 hours to get the care they need. So people can sit right in their homes and use Skype or a version, something like Skype, that they're already really familiar with to do this. And it's just easy and pretty straightforward and simple.
I've seen examples of telemetry in very remote places. You know, they'd have tools for reading a heart rate or
right.
temperature. How can they do that on a regular smartphone or computer?
Well, that's getting further than down the road than we are really already. The thing that I wrote about that's really taking off in terms of direct-to-consumer telemedicine, as they call it, is the virtual urgent care, which is really just seeing doctors online for really basic things like a sore throat or a virus or a cold. I think they're working on things now that will help you do more diagnostic stuff, like take the place of a stethoscope or a blood pressure cuff or something and be able to transfer that data online from your home or your workplace or wherever, but for the most part, we're not there yet.
You mentioned the convenience of telemedicine. Who is going to benefit most from this kind of medicine?
Well, I think it's going to continue to benefit the people who telemedicine has always benefited to an extent, which is people who have trouble accessing doctors, especially if you live in a more rural or remote location. So it's going to continue to help those people, and it's also just going to help the harried. It's going to help moms who are worried about their kids in the middle of the night, since this is like a 24/7 operation a lot of the time. It's going to help busy working people who don't want to take time from work to go to see the doctor or to an urgent care clinic. It's going to help people who just want to save time in their day and people who are busy, or at least I think that's how the companies are looking at it.
Who are some of the companies who are involved?
Well, I wrote about how health and hospital systems are increasingly getting involved themselves because they see competition from not just from telemedicine companies, but from the minute clinics of the world, the retail drugstore type clinic that are also providing a more convenient kind of doctor's appointment. But so some of the companies are Doctor on Demand, Teladoc, American Well. These companies, or many of them, have their own apps that you can download and go through a process to sign up and see one of their doctors directly. But increasingly, a lot of them are also working with health and hospital systems as sort of a third-party provider. So it will look like the hospital system that you're getting your doctor's appointment from online, but they're really using doctors and a technology platform of this third-party company.
How does the cost compare to a visit to urgent care or primary care, for that matter?
It's significantly cheaper than a primary care doctor appointment, which I believe is in the several hundred dollar range. Most of these urgent care visits are somewhere between $40 and $50, maybe a little more.
Are these kind of telemedicine consultations covered by insurance?
Increasingly, they are covered by insurance. You know, a lot of the big insurers are now getting into this and deciding they want to offer this as a benefit or cover it as a benefit. United Healthcare is jumping in and going to be covering it for most of their members. And that's like one of the largest insurance companies in the country, if not the largest, by the end of next year. Aetna has also really jumped into it. A lot of workplaces, like if you have an employer-sponsored health insurance plan, they will also cover it as a benefit at this point, and more jumping in. So I think it is more likely moving forward that more of us will have this as a covered benefit. But at this point, there's still a lot of us who would have to pay for it out of pocket.
And Medicare will not cover it, I understand from your article.
Medicare will not cover it for the most part. I think there's a couple of exceptions, maybe with Medicare Advantage plans, but For the most part, Medicare has not jumped in wholeheartedly to telemedicine, and particularly to direct-to-consumer type of telemedicine. There are some reports or estimates that suggest that it's just going to add to costs, that using this type of telemedicine is going to add to overall healthcare costs, not actually reduce it. And one of the questions is whether people are going to use it in addition to going to the doctor, or perhaps use it instead of not doing anything at all, in which case it certainly would increase costs, at least some. But I think there's increasingly, you know, pressure on Medicare to start experimenting more with offering this sort of thing, because there is increasing demand for it and people are saying it just makes sense.
We're speaking with Abby Goodenough. She's a healthcare reporter for the New York Times. She recently wrote about accessing healthcare consultations online via Skype or FaceTime or similar kind of platforms. How do doctors seem to feel about it? I mean, it would be competition for them, I would imagine.
Right. I think for every doctor you ask, you're going to get a different opinion. I mean, certainly there's many, many doctors who are now working part-time or full-time or on contract for these companies who are totally buying into it. There's a lot of other doctors, more old-school doctors in particular, who think it's bad medicine, basically, who think it's really impossible and dangerous to try to diagnose any sort of ailment over the internet and by video. They want to lay hands on the patient. They want to look closely at the patient's eyes and ears and throat and feel the pulse, all the things that you can't do if you're staring at somebody, no matter how close, via video.
Yeah, I wonder about accuracy and malpractice in these kind of cases as well.
Right. All of these companies, for the most part, say they haven't had any malpractice cases at this point, and they say it's partly because they're extra careful. They err on the side of caution so much, they say. They're making sure that they're not trying to diagnose or treat something that's not appropriate to be treated online. But it'll be interesting to see as this sort of visit proliferates if malpractice will become more of an issue.
Well, in many ways, this idea of you must see a doctor in order to get a prescription, and this is one way to get around that, you know, there are a couple of different sides to that. It's just part of the system. And the other is, you know, you just get a drug prescription for everything you get seen for. Does this kind of interaction with the doctor increase that probability that you're just getting an imprimatur stamp to get a prescription?
I think that's a big question, and one that doctors who are really hesitant about this type of service are batting around a lot and debating. I do know that there are certain types of prescriptions you can't get through these virtual care services, like for controlled substances. They're not going to prescribe those. There's a lot of concern that it's just a way to hand out antibiotic prescriptions, and perhaps in inappropriate cases where people don't really need antibiotics. Although there was an interesting study recently that suggested that these virtual appointments don't dispense antibiotics at any higher rate than in person. But I, to get back to your basic question, I think that you do have to kind of give your medical history and go through a number of questions. And many of these doctors, from what I've seen, do ask some pretty thorough questions and take their time trying to figure out what's wrong with you. So I think that the good providers doing this and the careful and cautious providers are not just handing out prescriptions left and right.
Clearly, our adaptation of smartphone apps and conveniences online has been rapid. Do you think there's a real game changer for healthcare system in the U.S. in the coming years?
I mean, if you look at how much of a game changer this kind of technology has been for so many other facets of our life, for shopping and for, you know, making travel arrangements and all of the things that we now totally are accustomed to and want to do online, you would think that it could definitely be a big game changer for medicine. I think, of course, there are natural limitations and there are some really obvious things that you do in medicine that you're just not going to be able to do via video. But I do think in terms of people seeking convenience and wanting easier access to healthcare, this could be an interesting solution and potentially a game changer. As a harried person myself, I can certainly see the appeal.
Well, Abby Goodenough, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Abby Goodenough, she's a reporter for the New York Times, recently wrote the article Modern Doctors, House Calls, Skype Chat, and Fast Diagnosis. There's a link at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.